The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. Listen to him. Every year on the Sunday of the Transfiguration, Martin Luther would preach those three words, "Listen to him." And I also, for the last 8 years among you, this is my eighth Lent, I believe, have been preaching on this Sunday, Transfiguration Sunday, on that text, what that means, "Listen to him." And I've not done it just because it's the easy way out and you know what you're going to preach about for Transfiguration Sunday. Oh, that's not such a bad idea. But it really is because I think that's what the Transfiguration, what this text is all about. Not about the glory, not the miraculous nature, not even mountaintop experiences. I think rather this is about God speaking, revealing to trembling witnesses, Peter, James, and John, just who this is, my Son, my chosen. What should they do about it? Listen to him. One little problem I face every year, though, Jesus doesn't say anything here. Now, of course, you can understand this means to listen to Jesus in general, to listen to his teachings. But really, listen to him seems to point to something in particular, especially in this gospel. Just before going up the mountain, Jesus asked his disciples who they thought he was. Peter said, "The Messiah of God." And Jesus responded, "Who must undergo great suffering, be rejected and killed, and be raised on the third day." It was the first time he told them that he was going to die, that that was how it was all going to end. Peter wasn't so crazy about the whole thing. And then they go up the mountain, and Jesus is transfigured. As they come down the mountain, Jesus tells them not to say anything until he's been raised from the dead. So right before and right after this story, Jesus talks about dying and rising. Listen to him, I think, particularly points to the cross, the most revealing moment of Jesus and who he is, about which I think there's probably been more written and spoken than any other moment in the history of the world, I think. There's another little problem with this story, though. As we continue on, the disciples don't get it, and they don't do what Jesus says. At least not after, until he is raised from the dead. Just as the words, these words leave Jesus' lips, "Don't say anything to anyone, I'm going to die and be raised," they begin to argue about who's greatest among them. So Jesus is like, "Okay, I'm going to suffer and die, and this is pretty momentous. Yes, but who's greatest among us?" You know, they don't get it. Perhaps they didn't want to hear that their teacher, the one revealed as God's son, wouldn't win. Perhaps they couldn't quite grasp a fully human Messiah who appears to lose, die. A son of God who would come down from the glory of the mountain and walk towards death and Jerusalem. And I don't think very much has changed when it comes to disciples. The mountaintop has a lot more appeal than the crucifixion. Most of us would rather see and be connected to a glorified Son of God, strong, victorious, supernatural, doing miracles, giving us supernatural signs to confirm his presence, or to confirm our decisions in life, or even to reveal God's will in a certain situation in a supernatural way. There are some Christian groups that really cling to and espouse this type of theology of glory, Christians call it, that if you do certain things and are connected to a glorious God, that God will reward you, you'll be strong and victorious over trouble and rich, and you'll know what God's will is for you. Lutherans aren't theology of glory people, we're theology of cross kind of people. But even so, even though Jesus was killed through ordinary means, crucifixion, a cross, electric chair in our day, even though we were brought into the faith with ordinary water, baptism, even though week after week, God meets us in nothing more than a crumbly bit of bread and a little, very moderately priced sip of wine, even though we know better, most of us prefer at times to look for God in some extraordinary, otherworldly sign instead of in the ordinary where he's made himself known. Even though we're ordinary people, with gifts, of course, but regular, ordinary human beings, when something very bad happens to us, a common reaction is to think, why me, Lord? Or why her, Lord? As if we should somehow be given otherworldly protection outside of this world's brokenness. Even though God has given us ordinary means to make decisions in life, he's given us brains, he's given us people with which to communicate, he's given us gifts and passions, we still look for God to give us a supernatural sign at times to reveal his will to us. See, the mountaintop glory has much more appeal than the ordinary. We just can't grasp a son of God who'd walk down the mountain towards death. And neither could the first disciples grasp that they would be part of betraying him to death. And yet when the time came, none wanted to be part of a mission that lost so quickly and so spectacularly. All in the end wanted to protect their own skins and abandoned him. See, in the end, we're just like those disciples. Neither can we listen to the mountaintop Jesus or trust him, the glorious Jesus, the supernatural Jesus. He's beyond our grasp. It's really the Jesus of the cross, the only one we can trust. There in the midst of darkness and death, what we experience in life. And what does at the heart of the cross, at the center of the cross, really is forgiveness. That's what God speaks through Christ on the cross. Complete and utter forgiveness. That's what we're to listen to. Jesus' act on the cross, telling us, you are forgiven. When we manipulate religion, when we think that faith is about glory, when we resentfully question God because he hasn't come to us in the way we expect or want him to, we are to hear you are forgiven. When we seek God in some extraordinary sign and ignore that God comes to us in the ordinary, in bread and wine, in the word and water, and also through our brothers and sisters, the communion of saints, and also in the world, through the least of these, as Jesus called them, those that we would least expect, where we least expect to find God, Christ comes to us. And when we ignore that and want something extraordinary, we are to hear, you are forgiven. When we seek for God's will in some extraordinary sign and ignore that God has entrusted us by ordinary means through them to make decisions for life, we're to hear, you are forgiven. We're to hear, you are forgiven, in the words of this sermon and in the words and songs of the liturgy. We're to swallow down this forgiveness in the wine and bread. We're to see and feel the forgiveness in the water that will soon be splashed on the foreheads of David and Valerie. We're to let this forgiveness sink into us, into our ears, down our throats, onto our heads, soaking in God's gracious forgiveness in Christ Jesus, that we might rise up from these pews as new people, at least for a short while, a people who shine with God's mercy, a people who listen to him on the cross. You are forgiven. Amen.